Belgian Confession, Article 28, you have a duty to join the church. May God bless our time in His Word. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the government allows one rat hair per large candy bar. And it allows 20 maggots in one 3.5 ounce can of mushrooms. The government allows this because they know that there's a certain amount of impurities. And while it's distasteful to think of a rat hair in one chocolate bar, it will not seriously harm you. And neither is the church perfect. She has hypocrites. She's sometimes fighting among herself. Sometimes she's lazy. And she might be distasteful at times. But you still have an obligation to join her. And when you do, to serve her, submit to her, and separate from wicked people. And this is what you will hear about from God today. Our headings are, join the church and serve her. Second, join the church and submit to her. Third, join the church and separate from non-believers. Our goals are that you will be moved to join the church and fulfill your duties in the church for the glory of the Lord and for the good of your neighbor. You have a duty to join and serve the church. Let's read together this first section of Article 28 of Belgic Confession. Together, we believe, since this holy congregation is an assembly of those who are saved, and outside of it there is no salvation, that no person of whatsoever state or condition he may be ought to withdraw from it, content to be by himself, but that all men are in duty bound to join and unite themselves with it, maintaining the unity of the church, submitting themselves to the doctrine and discipline thereof, bowing their necks under the yoke of Jesus Christ, and as mutual members of the same body, serving to the edification of the brethren according to the talents God has given them. You should want to join the Church of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the church is built by God. It has a sure foundation that will last forever. Your nationality might be nice. I heard yesterday that Canada is the most respected country in the world. Well, that might last for a little while longer, but eventually things change. That will pass. But the Church of Jesus Christ, because it's built on a sure foundation, will never, ever be destroyed. So you should want to be in it. Also, the church is God's special bride, to whom He gives all kinds of rights and privileges. Who wouldn't want to have those rights and privileges? A Canadian passport is only helpful for a certain time. And that too goes. But all the rights and privileges continue for eternity in the church. So you should want to join that. But then there's also another reason. The church is united. The church is holy. The church is universal. You should want to be a part of that church that is clean and filling the whole earth. But you can say, well, sometimes people don't want things that are good. So we go further in this, and that's where the confession picks up today. You need to join the Church of Jesus Christ. You cannot have salvation if you are willfully outside of the church. You see, the church is where the gospel is preached. And when the gospel of Christ is preached, faith comes. And faith is the means by which you are nourished and strengthened. If you don't regularly go to church, you will die or be spiritually malnourished. And furthermore, your elders recognize that 30 minutes of preaching is not enough for rigorous growth. This is why we have two services. That's why we have theology class. That's why we talk about listening to sermons online as well. But the church is not simply a place where the gospel is preached. The church is a place where the sacraments are ministered or administered. These are called the secondary means of grace. This is where your soul is nourished in a very tangible way. When you receive that bread and that wine, you're remembering the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And as you eat by faith, your faith is strengthened. When you reflect upon what Jesus Christ has done for you. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42 together. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. That's how God expects us to live. So you are part of a living, breathing church. The preaching of the gospel, the breaking of bread. That's speaking of the Lord's Supper. That's not speaking of fellowship meals, as great as those are. That's speaking of regularly participating in the Lord's Supper and the witnessing of baptism. And then the church is where you will receive discipline. All three of these things are essential. A wise man knows the benefits of discipline. Discipline doesn't always seem nice when you're getting it applied to you. But as you look back, as you who are older will look back and you will see the benefits of being disciplined as a child. And if you are not in the church, if you're not joined to the church, you can't be disciplined. You can't go and discipline your neighbor's children. You may only discipline those in your own household. And that's why it's essential to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. But not only should you want to, not only is it necessary, you need to, you are commanded to join and stay in the church and attend regularly. You are duty bound. And you are warned not to separate or withdraw yourself from the visible church. As John Calvin liked to say, you cannot have God as your father and refuse to have the church as your mother. So it's a sin to withdraw from the church. It's legal. Anyone can withdraw himself from the church. You don't get in trouble with the government if you do. But much more than that, you get in trouble with God. It's not moral. It's a sin. Remember Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25. Let's read together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day of judgment approaching. Warning. Don't stop attending worship. Now it's true, you may move to another good congregation, but make sure it is a better congregation. You may not leave the church to nothing without incurring guilt. And it surely is wrong to leave one congregation to go to another congregation because it demands less accountability. And that's the attractive thing now. Get into the big churches. Nobody knows who you are. Or maybe they know a little bit, but there's no accountability. And that's why the mega churches have such a strong appeal in our day and age. So don't jump ship because life will be easier there. Remember too that baptism joins you to the church. And this is particularly relevant as you see more and more churches, how churches are being planted these days in North America. We'll come back to that in a minute. So you're commanded to join the church. But not just be a member in the church, you must worship regularly. First of all, you must worship corporately. Through worship, you're equipped for your duty with gifts that you are to use for the service of other members. elders have special gifts from God, deacons, special gifts, showing hospitality and so on, that's a special gift, being a counselor, and you to use those gifts for the good of other members. So you realize that being a member of the church is not just about you. You're part of a family, and everyone does has his responsibility. A good family is run that way. The father has a duty, the mother has hers, the children have jobs, and if children aren't having jobs in their home, you need to give them some so they understand the idea of working for the good of the family. That organization is wonderful, and that's the same thing is true in the church. And that's what the elders will do. They'll meet with you and talk to you from time to time of things you can do so you can work together for that, for the good of the church. You must fulfill these duties. That's what God expects. You may not ignore God. You may not ignore your brothers and sisters. You must work to maintain that unity within the community. You see, if you don't fulfill your duty to each other, the world will see a really selfish church, or might see a bride that is sort of struggling. You don't see people with the joy of serving Christ. It's like seeing a woman with a black eye, and you know, well, she was not cared for. She was being abused by maybe a husband or something. And sometimes that's what the church can appear like a bride that has been beaten up. You see the contrast with what we just read from, or we just sang about from Psalm 45? Here's the bride. She's decorated with all the beautiful clothing, with the gold and embroidery, and she comes to meet the king. All glorious. But sometimes, if we don't fulfill our part, if we don't take care of each other, then the church looks kind of sickly, limping, bruised. But all parts of the church must work together in conjunction with the other parts. That's when you see things working well. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 21 and 22. We read together. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. So we have to take care of the whole body. You might look and think, toenails. Who thinks about toenails? And yet, taking care of your toenails is essential. Life becomes difficult if you don't have good toenails. Lose one and then you will see. Walking is not as easy, especially a big toe. But it's not as glamorous. And yet that's an essential part. So the rest of the body helps to take care of that. If your eyes are too tired because you've been wasting time on the internet, and then you have to go out and drive, you see the struggle. So on one hand, the soul is saying, yeah, just spend more time wasting on looking at things on YouTube or other things that take over. And then you go on the road and your eyes are too tired, you can't drive, you're not safe. You endanger the whole body because the eyes are tired. And so as Christians, we learn that we've got to work together to help each other. That's why in the prayer I mentioned about the fact of you're going to meet with friends and family tomorrow or maybe this afternoon. It's not all about the lovely meal. It's fine to enjoy good food, but take the time to encourage somebody. Help someone. Pray for someone. And you need others as well. You know, we talk about the fellowship of saints and how important that was, that Christians would meet in underground caves, or you read during the time of communism, meeting out in Siberia, 3-4 feet of snow. You literally had to look for your children. There's so much snow. And they would meet there. Why? Because they knew the benefit of being together. They knew the benefit. And one man said it nicely. He says, many logs make a brighter fire. It's nice to have two logs and you can have sort of a token fire, but you know when you start piling in the wood, the fire becomes brighter and it's more of a blessing to others as well. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19 together. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Consider the teaching of the Catechism, question and answer 55. What do you understand by the communion of the saints together? First, that believers one and all, as members of this community, share in Christ and in all his treasures and gifts. Second, that each member should consider in his duty to use his gifts readily and cheerfully for the service and enrichment of the other members. Not only should you do it, but you must do it cheerfully. You must realize that this is something that should be bringing joy to others, and you do it with a willing heart for the blessing of others. But it's more than that. You also have a duty to help those who are coming to Christ. Think about that. Zechariah chapter 8 verse 23. And by the way, I think probably Zechariah is one of the most underused books in the Bible and probably should be significantly used much more than it has been. In this case, look at Zechariah chapter 8 verse 23. Together, thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from every language of the nation shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. In other words, it's their duty to lead others to God. It's so easy to think of our friends, our family, our church. What about those who are the elect of God, who are the outside? It's our duty to engage them. Talked about that in the first service, bringing them in so that they will hear the message of Jesus Christ. That's part of what God expects. Here's where the gospel is preached. And when you do join the church, you are blessed. And you are called to seek out God's blessing. David described his love for the saints, and this caused David to not want to be by himself. We live in a very secular society in many ways, and a very selfish society. There are people who go to church, but then they say goodbye, see you next week. And there's no closeness. But look at how David describes this in Psalm 16 verse 3. Together, as for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. He wanted to be around them. Wanted to be in church, to talk to the saints. Because they would hold him accountable, he would hold them accountable. They will worship the Lord together, will sing together, play together, fellowship together. That's the blessing of being a part of the church. Well, let's go to the next point now. You have a duty to submit to the church. You have a duty to submit to her. This is where people would say you go from preaching to meddling, but this is what the scripture really tells us. We must submit to the church. Each one must work to maintain the unity of the church by submitting to the elders of the church. The language of the catechism is quite consistent with the scriptures, that is, bowing under the yoke. Yoke meant offices and responsibilities that Christ has given to his church. And like the church, there may be some maggots and rat hairs among the elders, but there are still benefits that you must not refuse. It's still good to have those who will watch over your souls. We are not perfect, but the Lord wants you to submit to us. How do you show that submission? You show that submission when you submit to the word of God that is preached. That means you have to faithfully listen to the preaching of the word. And that in itself is tough. The truth is, we're not always as smooth, and sometimes you're distracted by other things, or the preacher didn't prepare the sermon as probably should be prepared. But you have to listen. You have to fight the urge to be distracted or to let your mind wander, rather to concentrate on the word and then submit to the word that you hear. Submit to the corrections, submit to the rebukes. Take the encouragements that come from it as well. And you must also submit to Christian discipline. Look at Matthew chapter 18, verse 17 on this one. Together, "And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector." That's what church discipline is for. That's why Jesus commanded church discipline. I know this might not seem like a good thing in our age of selfishness, but again, the wise one recognizes the benefits of discipline. Remember Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Together, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. That's one of the best euphemisms you'll find in the scriptures. That will be unprofitable for you. What the writer is saying there, you're in big trouble if you make the life of the elder difficult. Big trouble. And even if the elders are asking you to do what is hard, you must submit. You may only refuse to submit if they ask you to do something unbiblical or ungodly, of course. One more note on this. It's dealing with private churches or even public churches that do not have the marks of the church, do not have faithful preaching, do not have discipline, do not have proper administration of the sacraments. Stay away from them. Song goes, don't touch them with a 39.5-foot pole. Avoid them. Get into a church where there's faithful preaching, proper discipline, and proper administration of the sacraments. So, now let's come to the next point. You have to submit to the church, submit to its discipline, and to its teaching. But there's another part of this. And it's almost like I want to say this from three different ways so you get the point. You have a duty to separate from non-believers or unbelievers. Let's read together this last section. Together, "And that this may be the more effectually observed, it is the duty of all believers, according to the word of God, to separate themselves from all those who do not belong to the church, and to join themselves to this congregation, wherever God has established it, even though the magistrates and edicts of princes were against it, yea, though they should suffer death or any other corporal punishment. Therefore, all those who separate themselves from the same or do not join themselves to it act contrary to the ordinance of God." If you are going to submit better to Christ and His Word, and if you are to serve your brothers better, you will have to separate from those who would hinder you from doing those things that God has called you to do within the church. Those who are not Christians live for themselves. They don't live for the Lord. You and a non-Christian have two different lords, two different loyalties. Now, of course, this is not a command to leave an unbelieving spouse, but it's a warning that sometimes you will have to give up friends. Sometimes you have to give up family if they will hinder you from serving the Lord. You see, you have to know your position, of course, in Christ. You have to know what Christ is to you, how much He means to you, what He has done for you. And then you would realize that sometimes you have to make some sacrifices. Now, it's not saying don't talk to people who are not Christians. It's saying don't be so close to them that they're hindering you from service to the Lord who bought you with his blood. Show that you understand the price of your salvation. And then there's this other side. Join the church and separate from unbelievers, even if the world insults you or threatens you. This willingness to separate from the wicked was seen most beautifully in the life of Ruth, one of the mothers of Jesus. When she left her family and joined with her mother-in-law's family. In Ruth 1:16, she said, "Together, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God." See, she knew exactly what Jesus meant. And what a beautiful picture. Where was she going? She wanted to go to Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread, where the bread of life would be born to nourish and strengthen people. And she was willing to separate. Look at the way Rahab had to turn against her own people. She had to get some of her family to join, thankfully. But when she was told by the spies why they were there, she said, "We've heard that God is with you. We know." And she knew she had to make hard choices. This is the same thing that Muslim and Hindus who become Christians have to face in places like Indonesia and Iran and Afghanistan. This is what believers have to deal with in communist countries like Cuba and China and North Korea. This is not new. This is what the church has faced during her days in Egypt many years ago. This is what the church faced from the Jews and the Romans in the first century. This is what Christians faced during the time of the Reformation. And this is what you will face more and more. You'll find this from companies now. You try to say, "I can't work on Sunday, it's the Lord's Day." They tell you, "Don't even bother applying." And it's going to get worse. Look at some of the things that they've done to Christians. There are so many jobs now, really, that Christians can't even apply for. Because they will force you to go contrary to the law of God, to the word of God. They're forcing you to do perverted things. They're trying to force doctors now to perform abortions as part of their training. Thankfully, there are some good people fighting that. But they want to make that as part of your training. Think of people who can't even perform marriages anymore because they're forcing them to perform homosexual marriages, and Christians are out of those jobs. So many different things. There's a member of a political party recently said that he believed that homosexuality is sin. What did it do? They kicked him out from running from one of the political parties. And it's going to get worse. And you have to be prepared that sometimes you'd have to lose some of those things. Look at the psalmist, Psalm 1, verse 5. Let's read together. "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners stand in the congregation of the righteous." The ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners stand in the congregation of the righteous. Where you are going to be, it's speaking here of where are we going to be a member. Sometimes you have to separate yourself from those who are wicked, and you surely should not be joined in marriage with those who reject the Lord. Value your salvation. Value the blood of Jesus Christ. Value his love. No one is saying that the church, the pastor and members and elders, that we have no sins. We have our maggots and our flies. Yet God separated you to be his children. and He wants you to stay in the church as He cleans you out and as He cleans us out. This is why the Apostle Paul referred to the sinful church in Corinth as the church of Jesus Christ. Think of some of the horrible things that were happening in the church there. And he says, that's the church. Yeah, they've got sins. They've got maggots. They've got flies. They've got their rat hairs. But the Lord will clean the church out. Let's conclude. God calls, gathers together, forms and secures the church for eternity. This church teaches, disciplines and loves her children. And you need to be part of the church. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, don't stay away from the church. Join her and attend her worship services faithfully. Thank God for His blessings. Submit to the teaching and discipline of the elders. Work hard using your gifts for the good of other Christians. Accept the help of other Christians when you need help. Call others into Christ's church by teaching them God's word. Teach them about who they are. Teach them about what God has done for them and how they could get the benefits of Jesus Christ. You see, being a member of the church is a great privilege, but it also has responsibilities. Don't be an island. Be a part of the living, breathing community of believers. And finally, it's not enough to attend church. You need to be joined to the church of Jesus Christ and attend regularly to receive the full effect of His blessings. So how do you become part of the church and receive her benefits? You need Christ's obedience and death counted as yours because you have nothing to offer to God. That's all you can bring to the cross of Jesus Christ. You can say, He lived for me. He died for me. If you ask God to do that, He will make you a part of His church. Then you can enjoy all these blessings. It's free to you. It came at the price of the life of Jesus. But it's free. Accept it. Let's pray.